Michael Morales Torres para Lucha Libre Online y El Calce, junto a mí, los autores del libro que está dando mucho de qué hablar, señoras y señores. El libro Mr. President ya está disponible ahora mismo en Amazon y en el mundo entero. Vimos por ahí que estaba Future en diferentes lados, entre ellos lo vimos en NBC, lo vimos en Fox News, lo vimos en ABC, lo vimos en diferentes partes. Y para hablar de ellos están sus dos autores, dos ex luchadores que dieron mucho de qué hablar. Primero que todo, Dr. Chris Wylie, The Masked Saint, en su momento dado, quien también tiene un libro sobre esa historia que ya había estado acá en Lucha Libre Online anteriormente, y junto a él el coautor Mike McCloskey, quien tiene una historia muy interesante de su tiempo en Puerto Rico, específicamente con WWC. Tuvo un tiempo acá, militó, luchó contra Hércules Ayala, hizo de todo un poco. Actualmente son autores de un libro bastante interesante en donde de todas las cosas tienes un hombre que está aspirando a ser presidente, y de todas las personas en el mundo su compañero de papeleta es un luchador, es un ex campeón mundial que decide correr para la política, disponible ahora mismo en Amazon. First of all, gentlemen, it's an honor for us to have you here at Lucha Libre. Lina was explaining a little bit to the Spanish speaking audience what the book is about. How are you doing today?
Excellent, excellent.
Doing great, Michael, and thank you for having us.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. It's an honor. The book itself, it's something pretty interesting because it's something that's kind of about to happen. But not for the vice president role, but for the president role. You know the rumors, we hear the reports, The Rock and the TMC article about the possibility of him running for the presidency of the US. Nobody expected this could happen, but from your mind, you developed this incredible book where a person decided to run for the presidency of the US, but it's not a normal person. It's a very particular human, basically in different stories and in different moments. It's hilarious itself, but the most important part is that he picks a pro wrestler, a former world champion in wrestling, to be his partner to run for presidency. How did this book came together? And we're basically about to live that situation in a few years. How do you feel?
Yeah, great. Michael, I'll let you start off.
Well, you hit on it, Michael, that when we say to someone, an outsider in our book, an outsider to politics wins the presidency of the United States, and they say, oh, well, that will never happen. And we say, well, you know what? It just did happen. It just did happen, and it probably will happen again. And with the advent of social media, when you have someone that's like a professional wrestling champion, he can have tens of millions of followers. So you take a comedian in this case, who's trying to build his reputation, and also comedians can have millions of followers. And then you pair it with a champion professional wrestler who has millions of followers. The people that are frustrated with the way that everything is going today, yesterday, tomorrow, they're going to look and say, you know what, we'd really like something different. We'd really like a change. We'd really like something fresh. And that's what our book basically is proposing.
Yeah. And he turns Washington upside down. You know, when the guy that's actually running is Timmy Connors. He's a comedian, and he hoodwinks celebrities into signing an autograph for him, but they're actually signing an agreement to be his vice presidential candidate. So, you know, he's had several celebrities, but the primo celebrity that he gets is the world heavyweight wrestling champion. And so there's a big scandal, and the comedian wins, and there's a problem with his health, and the world heavyweight champion becomes the president and begins to put his wrestling buddies in his cabinet, and he completely turns Washington upside down. So that's really what a lot of people want today. They want Washington turned upside down, and this book does it, and it'll keep your attention, and you will laugh a lot, and you will say, boy, I wish this could happen.
Yep, exactly. I wish this could happen. Yep.
Politics and wrestling is something that has been mixed since years ago. Recently, we had Glenn Jacobs or Kane as the mayor of Knox County in Tennessee. But we had Jesse Devore Ventura and even Savio Vega aspiring for a mayor position here in Puerto Rico at once.
Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura himself. Yeah. He was a governor. Let's talk about The Rock, because that's basically what may happen. Your book touches a topic that a politician or a wrestler about to turn, you know, politician. We've heard the rumors. We've read the reports. Based on your experience and based off the people you knew and the rumors and everything, do you think there may be a possibility, not even The Rock, maybe John Cena in the future, but do you think we may have either a president or vice president coming from the wrestling industry at any moment in the United States?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Yeah, I think there's a good possibility of something like that happening because, you know, if you turn your TV on every night, I guarantee you, just about every night, you can find professional wrestling on TV. And so there are millions and millions and millions of wrestling fans. And so when one guy that's popular makes that step, I think he's going to have instant fan approval and instant votes if that ever happened. What do you think, Mike?
You know, I like to look at the work ethic. Michael, how many football games does a professional football team play? 16?
17.
You know how many nights a professional wrestler wrestles?
Or 200. 300
and, 300 and something. Yeah. So you have a work ethic in this person. In the character that we've written, we have a work ethic where nothing is going to stop him. He's going to get up in the morning and he's going to start working and he's going to work toward a goal. And a lot of professional athletes have that. And we love the entertainment. That was one of the reasons that Chris and I got into wrestling 40 something years ago was the entertainment value of it, you know, and that's what our character here is all about. He has an incredible work ethic and he loves the entertainment of it.
I want to discuss that, your respective careers as well. Again, the book is available, Mr. President is available on Amazon right now. Easy purchase. You guys can do it directly on Amazon. It's worth every single second because it's something that's affecting us right now. It's kind of happening. So from comedy to say it this way, it became reality and it has been happening for several years. But your respective careers are very, very interesting and it crossed together at a certain point. Dr. Wiley, we've discussed your career in the past. There's a book, there's a movie, there's a lot of reports about your career and the history behind it, the Masked Saint himself. But how did you and, you know, when Mike McClaskey met, because Mike's career was back in Florida Championship Wrestling, your career took you to certain points as well in certain territories. When exactly your pathways met?
Well, we met in 1978.
Wow.
Excuse me. We both answered an ad where they were trying, you know, the guy was wanting to train people to become professional wrestlers. And Mike and I answered that ad at the same time. So we got to know each other as we were training to have our first match. I think we had our first match on the same night. It wasn't against each other. You were against a Junior Bad Boy Collins, I think, in your first match. And I was wrestling the Grappler in my first match. So we got to know each other and we have been friends for 40 years. Mike, what else you got?
Well, Michael, we traveled together and we were in a unique situation where, you know, you'd get a phone call from somebody that would just putting on a show in a couple of weeks and you would know this and they would book you for the show. And then you might say, do you need somebody else? And they'd say, sure, we need plenty of people. And I would immediately go to Chris. Again, Chris and I, our reputations were we were reliable. We're going to show up in shape. We're going to show up ready to go. We're not drunks. We're not gamblers. We don't carouse around afterwards. We come, we do our job, and then we go home. And that was very beneficial to us in our career. And we helped each other out. It was always, there was nothing I ever did where I didn't have Chris in the back of my mind, and there was nothing Chris Chris ever did, where he didn't have me in the back of my mind, either going against each other head to head or working as tag team partners. And it was always a pleasure, always a pleasure.
Chris, you had the privilege of working with none other than The Undertaker, among many other people in your career. What do you recall of that night you faced such a legendary figure inside the wrestling industry, that it's currently easy one of part of Mount Rushmore of the pro wrestling industry?
Yep. Well, this was before he actually became The Undertaker. This was in Dallas, Texas, and he was from Texas. So that night, I wrestled somebody else. I wasn't supposed to work against him. And then after I worked my match, I went back to the dressing room because my wife and both my little girls were there. It was a Friday night, and they would go. And then after I wrestled, we would go out and do our family stuff. On this particular night, I wrestled. I got back to the dressing room. I'm taking my boots off, and the promoter came in and said that the guy that was supposed to work against Mark was not going to be able to make it, and so he needed somebody to work twice. And I raised my hand because I knew this kid, because this was 1988, and I knew this kid was going to be a superstar, and I wanted to work against him. He was a great, great worker, and we had a great match that night, and I wish that I had had the opportunity to work against him several more times, but unfortunately, I also got out of wrestling in 1988. And then once I got out of wrestling, Mark went on to WCW, and then from WCW, of course, to the WWF, and Vince turned him into The Undertaker. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who has wrestled for 3 decades. I don't know how many WrestleManias he was in, but he seems like he'd been in just about all of them. But he was just a great, great guy to work with. And his life has really gotten better since he got married. Now he's become a Christian and doing a lot of taking a lot of opportunities to share his faith now. So I'm just thankful that I had the opportunity to get in there and work against him.
Hey, Michael, I gotta cut in with a real quick, cute story, and I'm gonna turn it over to Chris in just a second. One of the things that Chris and I loved about this sport is we were backstage, so we did get to meet these people. We got to meet The Undertaker. So we're backstage. We had already wrestled one night, and Rocky Johnson came in with this young kid with him, and it was Dwayne. And Dwayne had just come back from Canada, where he quit playing football. And Dwayne was being trained to wrestle. And Dwayne was going to go out to the ring with his dad. And we're fortunate enough to have like a 10-second video that Chris's dad took of the four of us. But Chris, I want you to cut in now, and I want you to tell Michael the advice that you gave Dwayne The Rock Johnson that night. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking to Dwayne, and I said, because, you know, he played football at the University of Miami, and, he was in great shape. And I said, you're going to play football? And he said, no. He said, I'm through with football. I'm going to wrestle. And I said, man, why are you going to do that? And he said, I'm going to follow my dad. And I said, yeah, but you can play football and make millions of dollars. I said, why would you go into wrestling? Because Mike and I never made millions of dollars back in that day. You know, you just didn't make that kind of money. You made good money, but you just didn't make that kind of money. And he said, no, I'm going to wrestle like my dad. And I said, you're an idiot. I can't believe you're doing that. And the next year, he was with the WWF, and he made $6 million. Working for WWF, and then plus he had a book that came out and all kinds of stuff. So it's a great thing he didn't listen to my advice.
That's a cute story. That's a great memory for us, you know, to be able to say that we were in the locker room with Dwayne Johnson and his dad before he became anybody. Yeah.
Your story inside the industry itself and the territory days, life was rough. There was a lot of alcohol abuse. There was a lot of substance abuse. There was a lot of gambling, cheating, among many other things. But days have changed inside the wrestling industry, and we can see someone like The Undertaker being openly Christian, The Rock as well, among many, many, many other wrestlers that have assured their faith in God. How do you feel knowing that you were a part of this change itself? Because we've read your story, Dr. Wiley, as well. Having the opportunity to change lives, you're doing it every single day, but the wrestling industry was a very, very dark place, and it's not anymore. How do you feel about that, both of you?
Well, I'm thrilled about it. I mean, Mike knows as well as I do, in our day, you know, especially when I was in Texas, I usually went to the dressing room. I found my little space there, and I stayed there. I mean, I was nice to all the guys, and they're nice to me, but as soon as the show is over, you know, they're going to strip clubs and bars and stuff. I'm going home to my wife and my two little girls. I wasn't a part of that. I tried to get those guys to go to church with me. I got a couple of them to go. Solomon Grundy, who was really big in Mexico.
Yes.
Solomon Grundy, one of the first black wrestlers. His name was Tom Jones. Tom was very instrumental in helping me when I was in Texas. Got him to go to church with me, but nobody else wanted to go. And then you look at it today, and you have not only The Undertaker, you have Nikita Koloff, who is a very dedicated Christian, Ted DiBiase, the former, you know, Million Dollar Man, who is a very dedicated Christian, Bobby Fulton. You've got a bunch of guys that now are very strong in their faith. And I wish that I had had the opportunity to be around guys that were people of faith. You know, Michael, he was my rock, you know, when I was in wrestling, because I knew that Michael and I, we weren't going to get in trouble. We weren't going to be going places that we shouldn't go. And Michael had a, you know, strong family life, and I had a strong family life. But very, very thankful that things have changed.
Mike, let's talk about your pathway inside the industry for a little bit. You were part of Florida Championship Wrestling, among many other territories inside the U.S. But your pathway took you to Puerto Rico. It took you to WWC, the longest reigning company in the island. It has been for the past 50 years. But you came here in what it's called, quote unquote, the golden years. And you face, of all people, Hercules Ayala. I want you to describe me how in the heck did you ended up wrestling Hercules Ayala and Una Gallera, as we say here in Puerto Rico, which is where the cockfights got, you know, celebrated back then. How was your experience with the audience? How did you came here? What do you recall of your time in Puerto Rico?
I was a little bit different when I was wrestling because I was a fan of the sport. So not only was I in it actually wrestling, but I was paying attention. And you got to remember, this is the 80s. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have Google. We had magazines. We had wrestling magazines. So when I had an opportunity to go to Puerto Rico and film, and again, I know what my role was. I wasn't going to be a parade down Main Street. I was going to go there to be a guy that was going to get beaten, which was fine. I knew my role, but I also knew the guys. I knew the history of the sport. I knew the richness of it. And there was no way I could pass up an opportunity to go to Puerto Rico. Hercules Ayala, I've worshiped the guy, you know, and I had an opportunity to talk to him before and after, and I thanked him. I thanked him very much for the opportunity. Because what a rich tradition it is there, and everything about it was just a memorable experience, and I loved it, and the people were great. Again, the cockfighting ring was something different because you didn't see that in Florida. I was telling Chris before we started that they were banging their pipes and whatever they could on the metal. And as a kid from Florida, you just kind of look around the ring and say, well, what am I in for here? But again, we're in the ring and we're there to do something. And it was just a, it was a great experience. And I loved coming back to Florida and telling all my friends about it, saying, yeah, if you get the opportunity to go down there, by all means do go down. It was great.
You had the opportunity as well to meet one of our part of our family, Hugo Savinovich, in Puerto Rico back in 88. How was your experience with Hugo?
Well, when I look at pictures of Hugo now, that's not the Hugo that I met in 88. Long flowing hair, thin, almost a light, bubbly guy. The fellow that I went down with, Tommy Wright, was friends with Hugo. And in fact, they had invited me to go out drinking after the matches. And like Chris said, that just wasn't our thing. We did our matches. We went back to the motel room. So I have no idea. I don't think, let me put it to you this way. We left early in the morning, and I don't think Tommy or Hugo slept. I think when I met Tommy in the morning, Hugo had just dropped him off. But you know, that's Hugo came into the locker room a few times. He was always smiling, always happy. Again, what can I get you? What can I do for you? And for a wrestler, especially in another country, that just is unfathomable because he doesn't know me and I don't know him other than the little introduction. But for him to come into the locker room and say, what can I get you? What can I do for you? Is everything all right? It just made it burnt in my memory because, again, it's been 1988, you know, whatever that's been. And when Chris said Hugo is involved, I said, wait a minute, I know Hugo. I remember meeting Hugo, and that stuck in my mind. The one time that we met, it was an hour, maybe 2 hours. And to this day, all these years later, I remember you. I remember you, Hugo. Thank you.
This is brilliant, man. Before we go to our last question, I just want to thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute honor to have you here at Lucha Libre Online and El Calce. Obviously, I'm going to say this in Spanish as well. El libro está disponible ahora mismo, Mr. President, disponible en Amazon. Vale la pena cada segundo de su tiempo. Pueden ir directamente al website. Ahí está, tiene el, como pueden ver, el Oval Office con el campeonato de lucha libre en el mismo centro. Algo simplemente peculiar que estamos viviendo ahora mismo, una de las realidades. Y pueden, para más información, ir a MrPresidentBook.com o simplemente hacer clic aquí a la parte de abajo, MrPresidentBook.com, y los va a llevar allá para que vean toda la información. Y de igual manera está disponible en Amazon.com para todos ustedes para la venta. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute honor. Last but not least, what message can you send to all the fans, both in Latin America and outside of Latin America, that are following us right now, so they can buy the book, and besides they can buy the book, so they can, you know, immerse into this story and have the opportunity to live Mr. President through your eyes? What's the message for them?
I'm going to let Michael go. I've been talking much. You go ahead, Michael. Oh.
Well, as we've said before, this book is an opportunity, and it actually can happen. You know, Chris mentioned, or somebody mentioned John Cena. He was a kid that watched wrestling, and then look what he became. Mm-hmm. This is a book about what you want to do and what you can become. It's lighthearted. It's a very easy read. But it's a book that says, if you want to do something, if you want to become something, and you work hard enough. I talked about that, a work ethic. You work hard enough, you can achieve it. And again, that's part of what Mr. President is talking about is I want to do something. What do I have to do to achieve it? We wanted to write this book. Guess what? We achieved it. We have the book out. We'd love for everybody, all of your listeners, to get their hands on it. And we're going to say, Chris and I are both going to say, it should be a movie that you come back and see us a year from now, and we'll be talking about the movie, Mr. President. Right. Thank you, Michael.
Right. Well, Michael, I think that there's a lot of just everyday great people that listen to Lucha Libre online. And I think that there's a lot of people out there who have failed at one time or another. They failed. And this book really says that failure is not final, because Timmy, you know, one of the stars of the book, was a complete failure just about everything he did, until he never took no for an answer, and he just kept going and turned his life around. And then you have this great young kid that grows up that didn't have a lot of failure, but yet he's still got a lot of people telling him because he's a professional wrestler that he can't do something. So I'm just telling all of your audience out there, you've got something that you want to do. Failure is only final when you quit. So don't quit, no matter what you're doing. Don't quit. You pick up Mr. President book and you read it, and I hope it inspires you to become all that you can become.
Gentlemen, thanks to both of you for your time. Honored to have both Chris and Mike here at Lucha Libre Online and El Calce. And let's wrap this up. Pero en español, el libro disponible ahora mismo en Amazon.com. Mr. President, no se lo pueden perder por nada del mundo. Este fue el Dr. Chris Wiley y Mike junto a Michael Morales Torres para Lucha Libre Online y El Calce, porque en español nadie lo hace mejor. Será hasta la próxima.